very much for this opportunity to preach the gospel. We are just so grateful and so honored that you have chosen us. And I am just elated that you took someone from nothing and you poured into me, all of you. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful. So, and I just thank you for this opportunity. I'm so humbled that you would give me this space and this time to represent you and reflect you. So, Lord, we ask you to touch the hearts and minds of everyone that's out there on social media. Those are here in the audience. Let them receive this word, right, and let it be transformed in their life. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. So, the sermon title is really a contract with God. Everybody say a contract with God. It starts with the heart. It starts with the heart, right? And there's something about that heart, right? So I want to, a true life transformation begins with the heart, right? So I've been talking to you guys really about this heart. This heart has really, really, really been on me because from the heart, everything flows, right? But I want to read something to you because we're in some very, very challenging times, right? And so I'm not bothered by them because I know what God is able to do, right? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ever ask or think. So I'm never concerned about what God is going to do and how he's going to do it. But I want to read something, a little bit of something before I really get into the sermon, and because I'm going to get you guys out here on time, right? Jeremiah was writing, and the children of Israel, when you go to Genesis chapter 10, God told Noah and his three sons how he's going to really bless Shem, and he's going to use Abraham as a blessing, because he said about Shem children. And so the children of Israel were God's chosen people. So the Bible tells this story about this magnificent God who's so magnificent, so awesome, that he takes a group of people, they call his chosen people, that was going to transform the world, and he's going to show how he operate and how he move against other guys from other nations, right, and show how superior he is. And he's going to show the world that if you stick with me, that your life will be blessed beyond measure. And what others have, you don't have to worry about because I'm going to take care of you. And as you read the Bible and you go through, the children of Israel was blessed beyond their wildest dream. They went down into Egypt with a small group of people, Joseph's brothers, and they came out 605,000 strong, right? And God blessed them, and they went, left Egypt. God had delivered them out of Egypt and took them down through the wilderness, and they were in the wilderness really for 40 years when it should have been 4 days or 4 months, right, or 4 weeks. We just know it's going to be a short period of time. But because of their rebellion against God, they did not prosper while they were in the wilderness. So God had to keep on spanking them until they would give in to God, and then God would, okay, let's roll. And it was just so bad that God didn't even let anybody that was 20 years older and older, I mean older, 20 years or older, never ever, who left Egypt, never made it to the promised land. So God was allowing them, man, to go to the land of Canaan, a land that he had already set up through the Canaanites that was flowing with milk and honey. And he told them, I'm going to bless you guys, and I'm going to take you. And he told Abraham, I'm going to make your nation, your name great, and you're going to build a great nation, right? He said, and then the promise is, I'm going to give you this land called Canaan. And the land is going to be so prosperous, it's going to have everything in it that you need. I'm going to take care of you, right? The problem is they had to be patient with God, right? And they had to trust God along the way. So God sent many tests along the way to make sure that they really, really, really trusted him. So even though he was feeding them and taking care of them, they kept on complaining. It had gotten so bad that some of them said, Moses, you should have left us in Egypt in slavery. And we were doing, at least we had good food to eat and things were going on. We don't care how bad the situation was. And then God said, really? Is that really how you're going to play me for real? All right, I got a plan for you then. Since you want to go back to Egypt, I'm not going to let you go back to Egypt. I'm just going to let you die right here in the wilderness. Right? And so God didn't really play, right? So when you read the Bible, and God, in the Old Testament, he really dealt with the male. Now, we're in a society now, the women are on the rise, things are going up. But when you read biblical scripture or any kind of religious scripture, the man was the important person of the family, right? If the man was right, the whole family would be blessed. If the man was wicked, the whole family would get in trouble, right? So he would literally kill people, right, because of the wickedness of the man, right? So when you do things, and whenever the man is out of line, he throws his entire family out of line, right? And so things are very, very challenging. And so when people are not walking according to God's way, it creates all kind of problems. Everybody say it creates all kind of problems. But when Jesus comes on the scene, Jesus kind of like brings us into this relationship with God, and the power of the Holy Spirit comes on everybody, and it comes inside, and it manifests itself through everybody. But I'm going to take you back into Jeremiah for a second, because it's tough. Everybody say it's tough. It's some tough times now. We look at the administration, the Trump administration, and things that's happening, and it's very, very challenging. And we're like, man, what are we going to do, right? In Jeremiah chapter 12, right, and I want you to make a reference to this. In Jeremiah chapter 12, in verse 5, it says, the New Living Translation, it says, if racing against mere men make you tired, how will you race against horses? Right? If you stumble and fall on open ground, what will you do in the thicket near the Jordan? So he said, if you can't run with the men, what you going to do when the horsemen can? If you can't handle this, what's going to happen when the heat turn up? Right? And the thing is, if you can't stand now, if you can't deal with this now, what you going to do, man, as they start to amp things up even more? What you going to do? Right? The only insurance policy that you have is having a true relationship with God. That's your insurance policy, right? If you want an insurance policy, man, that's going to pay you great dividends, that insurance policy is having a relationship with God sincerely from the heart, not with your lips. Because Jesus, some people serve me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, right? And so if you want this insurance policy, man, in the tough time, as they take things away, we just got hit in community in Muskegon County with a devastating blow. Several people, hundreds of people, went to work and Kohl's was shut down. So you have people who have been there for 20 years and 26 years and 18 years. Nice jobs, been feeding their families. Some have bought new homes and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden you get there and the door is closed. You know, some people who they only went to high school. They don't have no college education. They're not trained to do anything. So now you're in a tough situation, right? And the only thing that's going to be able to help you through situations like that is going to be your relationship with God. You got to have a relationship with God because God is a spirit. And spirit works in the hearts and minds of people, right? So what they can close one door, but God can open another door, right? And so your insurance policy is make sure you live in from the heart and live and walk the walk and talk the talk. You can't fake it because God knows your heart. Man would judge your outward appearance, but God judges your heart, right? And so we live in some challenging times, but it's only challenging for the people who don't know God. When I say don't know God, I mean people who come to church and they play church, but they don't really have God in their heart. They don't move like God really is in control of their life. They talk about their faith, but it's evident in the walk, right? So if you're one of those people, I promise you, if your insurance is not paid up when the roof leaks, it's going to destroy the whole house. You don't have no insurance policy to pay for it, right? And you don't have enough money saved up. Right? And your life and your savings is your commitment and your loyalty and your dedication to God. Right? And if you're committed to God, it's not about financial resources. It's about commitment to God. Everybody say commitment to God. So it's important to understand that, right? So it all starts. So we're in a contract with God. If I violate the contract, man, then the person is not obligated to pay it, right? So if I have not, if I have not did my part with the contract, I've not paid my premiums or whatever, then I can't expect the people to pay out, right? And so if you have not made that commitment to God and your back is against the wall, and now all of a sudden you say, listen, you want to cash in when you go to prayer. Lord, I want to cash in on this policy. Lord, you know, he said, hold it now. You haven't paid no premium. He said, I've been talking to you, and I've been having a conversation with you, and it's not about anybody. I've been talking to you personally, and you said the next time. Lord, I promise you, if you deliver me this time. He said, but you refuse to pay your premium, and now, right, and now you're scared. You're running scared because the storm has come, and you know your policy is not paid up. Things is challenging, and I'm, here's what happened. Now, listen to me. You're going to run to the church, and you're going to expect the church, right, to be there for you. I ain't talking about kingdom embassy. I'm talking about the church of God, right? You're going to try to run to God, because God is church. You're going to run to him and expecting him to deliver when you have not put anything in. Right? And here's the thing. Everybody says, well, God is a God. He'll do it. He will. The problem is you don't even believe he's going to do it. You don't believe he's going to pay the premium. You don't believe he's going to pay out. Because in your heart of hearts, you don't believe it. If it was, you'd be living it. Right? If you really believe that, you'd be living. And so when things are going good, it's like, I don't need God. You know, because I can pay my bills. I got money in the bank. But what happens when they shut the door? You know, if you just do a little history, because during the Great Depression, they had wheelbarrows full of money, and it wasn't worth nothing. You know, the only thing you can depend on is God himself, right? And so it's so important to understand we got to have a contract with God, and we cannot break the contract. And the contract really starts with the heart. Are you genuinely in relationship or in contract with God from the heart? It ain't got nothing to do with your children. It don't have nothing to do with your spouse. It's about you. This is an individual thing. How am I? What is my relationship like? Right? That's why when David messed up so bad, he said in the fifth verse number Psalm, when he had screwed up, he said, create in me a clean heart, right, oh God, and renew a loyal spirit. Everybody say a loyal spirit. He said, give me back the loyalty I need to be with you. I need a loyalty with God. I got to be in genuine relationship with God. My heart has to be right. Right? And the reason why David escaped so much and he went through so much hell and he kept being delivered is because in his heart was right. He wasn't just talking the talk, he was walking the walk. Right? And you have to ask yourself a question and you have to be honest. Where is my relationship with God for real? It's not about play. All right? It's time now. The horsemen are here. Right? We struggling with the footman. The horseman is here now. The rubber has hit the road, right? Things are very, very challenging. They're taking resources away, right? They're taking things away. What do we do, right? You don't. Some people say, "Well, I got money saved up." Listen, one comment from one person can wipe your entire stock out. You know, Elon Musk can say one thing and the stock will drop. Based on his word alone. Warren Buffett can say one thing in the whole stock market, all your stock will be gone. The only true insurance policy that we have that's guaranteed to give you return on investment is your relationship with God. That's the only one, right? So I got to make sure that's paid up if I don't pay my rent. If I don't pay my car note, I don't care what happened. And that's going to show up, and everybody going to know it's paid up, Pentecost, because the way I treat people, the way I move on my job, the way I treat my husband, the way I treat my wife, the way I deal with my children, the way I deal with my neighbors, right? The way I help others, I can tell if your insurance policy paid up or not based on your lifestyle. Because you have a life, man, that's reflective of him in this relationship. So when David said, God, please create in me a clean heart and renew the Lord's spirit, he said, do not, everybody said, do not. Do not banish me from your presence. And don't take, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take. And he begged him because he knew he had messed up. Right? When you know you messed up and God told you messed up and you look in the mirror and it's you and you. And you look at that person in the mirror, you can't lie to them. Right? You have to be real because you're looking God right in the face. And here's the thing. And whatever's on the inside is going to manifest itself on the outside. Right? And so you can't dress it up. You can't be cute. It's going to come out. That's important. So when God in Genesis and he gave the law to Moses, he said, listen, I want you to circumcise all your males, right, at 8 days old. He said, circumcise them. Moses, who God chose. Now, listen, God, listen, he doesn't play, right? I don't care who you are. Everybody say, I don't care who you are. If you don't pay your insurance policy, God said, it's going to be, you're going to have hell to pay, right? So when you read in Exodus, Moses, God had chose Moses to go down and deliver the children of Israel. God chose him. God went back to Jethro, tell Moses to go down to Egypt. And Moses got married to a woman by the name of Zipporah. All right? And Moses got ready to go down there. And guess what happened? God was getting ready to kill Moses because Moses violated the contract. Moses had not circumcised his son. And because Moses did not fulfill the contract, God was about to kill Moses, but God gave Moses a good woman. And Zipporah quickly took a flint knife, right, and circumcised her baby, right, and then took the skin and touched Moses, and now you got you in a covenant agreement. Because God don't play about his business. And his business is you. That's important. That's why everything's about your heart, why God resides there. And he knows it. It's so important. Because if I get your heart right, then I can change the world. Right? The world is in trouble because of your heart. People treat people terrible because their heart is so darkened. Right? And so your contract is your heart. Right? Now, look at Ezekiel. All right? I want you to hear this, Ezekiel. And I will give you a new heart. Everybody say a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony heart, watch this, stubborn heart, and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations, right? Because the children of Israel was hard-hearted. They didn't really trust God like they're supposed to because every time things start going good, they wouldn't pay the premium. You know how it is. I'm not gonna pay. I ran into a person and they was having some issues and the car was messed up. I said, well, listen, you may have towing. Call the towing company. He said, well, my wife has lost her job and I didn't pay the insurance. And because she didn't pay the insurance, she couldn't use the towing service. Right. So just imagine. Your life is on jam. You're sick, but you ain't paid your insurance policy. But you want God to heal you. Right? You're addicted to something, and it's got you, and you're begging God to deliver you, but you ain't paid your insurance policy because you won't commit to him. Because your heart is more committed to satisfying other people and pleasing other people and not God. Right? And so you have not paid, and you wonder why you can't get delivered. but he delivered somebody else. I know he did. If he did it for them, sure he can do it for me. But maybe they paid their insurance policy. Right? Maybe they paid their premium, and you haven't paid yours. Right? And guess what? It ain't. Nobody knows about your premium but you. Because man judges the outward appearance, but God judges your heart. And the reason why it's so important, because he reflects himself through your heart. Sometimes people only see God through you. Right? That's why it's so important, right? The way you move in your relationship with him. Because you need to know. You need to know what God is all about. So when I get to reflect him and move, I can change the world. Listen, one person can change a whole generation of people. One person, right? When you got God backing you, right? And so you can't bank on you. The problem is we're in a world or society making everybody think it's about us because we got a little money in the bank. You know, we got some properties, or we have a little investment over here, so we think we're doing good. But remember, none of it belongs to you. I know you think it do, but I remember I went to the bank once, and I had some money in the bank, a little Zach. And so I had the money, and I went to the bank. I said, I want a check for $20,000. It's my money. The bank said, nope. We can't give you your $20,000 right now, because we using your money to make money. And since we using your money to make money, even though it's your money, I'm not giving it to you. Now I done put my money in your bank, right? So you can't even have your confidence in the bank, because you can have a crisis, try to go get it, and can't get it. And you can get mad, you can scream and holler, whatever, it won't matter. The only thing gonna matter is you have a heart with God, because people make decisions. And God is a spirit, and spirit works in the minds of people. So they can make the decision if God touched their heart. And God is not going to let you go without when you've been walking with him. All right? And so it's so important, right? So God was telling the children of Israel, listen, I got to get your heart right. Right, I don't need all that. I don't care how eloquent you are. I don't care how well you speak. That's why you're talking about you can speak with the gifts of tongues and all that. But if you don't have love, if your heart is not right, the rest of it don't matter. Right? He says, so we're in a contract with him, and the contract starts here. Everybody says it starts here. So you got to ask yourself a question for real. Don't ask anybody. Just ask, am I really in a contract agreement with the Father? Or did I really sign the contract? Because the contract is inside of you. It's in your heart. Is my heart genuinely where I make everybody think it is? Here's Paul in Romans. For we do not live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it is to honor who? The Lord. If we die, it is to honor who? The Lord. So whether we live or die, where do we belong? To the Lord. So remember, we his property. So if we move like that, just imagine, though nothing I do, nothing goes on without him. It's all his. I thought I owned my house. I paid it out. I paid the house, and me and Sister Dern were shouting for joy. We got a good house. It looked good until the bank said, you do know you have to pay some interest, right? On a little bit. Oh yeah. So he's okay. We working with that, but then the city called me, and the city said you owe me some taxes, and he said if you don't pay the taxes, I don't care how much you pay for the house, you got to give it back, and this is gonna go on for the rest. So you never own the house. I know you like your car. But they said, listen, if you don't get insurance, you can't drive the car. And now it's so bad, you said, yes, I can. I just want you to know the police can look at your license plate and tell if your insurance paid up. And they can pull you over. They just didn't pull you over yet. Everybody said, God's grace. Don't let it run out on you. Don't let his grace run out on you, right? Right? And a lot of us have a lot of grace, man, because we in contract with him. We in contract. We devote our life to him. We don't just go in our room and pray. We literally live it out. He really is my heart of hearts. He's everything. I can't move without him, right? I can't breathe without him. You know, I was listening to Nigel speak today, and so you got a group of people whose heart is so dark that they think they God. They think they can just take people, snatch people away from their family, dismantle families, do everything because of political power. And some people said, man, just wipe out the homeless people. Just get rid of them. People whose heart is dark don't care nothing about nobody but them. So if you self-centered and it's all about you, check your relationship and your contract with God. Because if it's all about you and not about others, I promise you, man, you did not sign the dotted line. All right? Now, here's Galatians. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Paul is writing to the Galatians because there was people that were believers who came to them and says, you got to get circumcised. If you don't get circumcised, you can't really be a part of the apostle. Listen, man, God is greater than all of that. Right? So he's trying to tell them the importance of relationship and unity. Right? He said, and I know you guys want to follow the law because this is what Moses said in the law and all that. He said, but the real contract is in your heart. He said, because I don't care what the law says and all that. What's important is how you treat other people. And if you really understood the law, then you would treat people differently. Right? So he says, but if you are always biting, devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Everybody say beware. When I'm so busy, now that's why I asked, that's why I told you, you got to do this. Because when we're so focused on hurting other people and trying to destroy other people's lives, calling and lying on the phone about other people or trying to tear other people down, you have to ask yourself a question. What kind of relationship, man, do I really have with God? If I'm hell-bent on trying to destroy your life when my life is already in shambles. So instead of me, man, devoting my life to trying to be a better person and have a stronger relationship with God, I spend my life trying to worry about how I can break you or how I can get what you got. Right? And so he tells us, man, watch yourself. Right? Then he goes on, he says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Now listen, I mean, you got to allow, if you're in relationship with God, you got to allow God to run your business. Every facet of your life. The kingdom agenda is the comprehensive rule of God in every area of your life. Every area. God got to be first in every area of your life. Not some. He's greater than your personality. That's why he says, man, you got to be born again, right? Because you have a new heart, right? Then he goes on and says, the sinful nature, everybody says sin nature. That sin nature is a terrible thing, Tasia. It'll make you do something that you wish you hadn't done after you did it. Because your sin nature is all about satisfying me, right? He said, your sinful nature wants to do evil. Your sinful nature knows it's wrong. I know I shouldn't say that, but I just had to. She just got to hear it. I just got to tell them. They just got to know. Right? And he says, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. So when you in contract with God and you sign that dotted line and you devote it to him, you're very careful how you treat people. You're very careful what you say. You're very careful in your conversation. Right? And people, they so quick to try to hurt other people in the name of the Lord. Right? But he goes on to say this. And the Spirit gives us the desire that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that, what? You are not free to carry out your good intentions. Then he says this. When you follow the desires of your sin nature, the results are very clear. I know you don't want to hear this. I know you don't even want to read it. I know you wish they ripped this page out, right? Your sexual immorality, right? Your impurity, your lustful pleasures, right? Idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, always fighting, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, threesomes, foursomes. Just saying. Those wild parties. Then you know, listen, and I don't care what anybody tell you, before you ever indulge in any of that stuff, the Holy Spirit lets you know. Put the brakes on it. This ain't something that's reflective of me. I mean, this is not a representation of me. What you're about to do is not good for you and nobody else. But your flesh says, it feels good to me, though. But your spirit, man, because you got it inside, you said, no, don't do it. Whatever is the strongest, when you have not signed a contract with God and your heart is not with him, you're going to do whatever your sin nature wants you to do. You're going to do it, and you're going to feel good and mad at the same time. Because you thought it was good, and you find out it don't mean you no good. All right? Now, he said, let me tell you again, as I have told you before, this Paul talked to the church of God here, that anyone, say anybody, nobody's exempt. Not Pastor Duren, not Sister Duren, not Minister Kosei, not Tasia, not Minister Trey. Nobody, none of us are exempt. Right? That anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, listen, you can't inherit it because you haven't even signed the contract. You can't even get the benefits of it. Right? Now, so it's important to understand that when my heart is right, right? Now, I was talking to a young girl the other day. I was telling her about my wife. And my wife is my life, right? And I was telling her, I said, I try not to even travel without her. I try not to travel without Ardina, right? And so the stronger my relationship got with God, the more I understood her being my bodyguard. Not just against other people, but also against me. Right? And because I'm in relationship with God, right, and I signed that contract, and I tell the devil and all his partners, get out the way, because I ain't messing with you. I'm already in contract with the Lord. So I'm devoted, right? So I try to make some decisions. Now listen to me. It's challenging, but you got to be committed to what you committed to, right? Now, because we live in a day and time now where our flesh wins out. Everything is about your flesh. It ain't just about sex. Everything is about what makes you feel good. What's good for you. It's never about anybody else. I'm going to leave that alone, right? Now, so I can get out of here in time in this 1 minute, I want to say this. So the power of a circumcised heart, right? Because circumcision is that covenant agreement. Here it is, Galatians 5, 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life. Once you sign this contract with God, and you sign this contract, this insurance policy, right? It produces in you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Listen, everybody said, and self-control. Everybody said gentleness. Everybody said faithfulness. Everybody said goodness. Everybody said kindness. Everybody said patience. They don't even have a law that can trump none of that. Right? That's the power. When I sign this contract, that becomes the very thing that I live my life by. Once you have a contract and you sign that contract, you better read the fine print. Because if you don't read the fine print, somebody will take your house from you because you didn't read the fine print. Right? I got a loan, a home equity loan, and I got it, and they said I had a line of credit, right? And so I said, man, we're going to get our bathroom done, so I'm going to take this money and do it. And it's fine. And you know, you don't read everything because you feel you're going to pay it, right? And then the bill came in, I looked. I said, oh, the payment was low. I said, that's good. And then I looked. I said, why is my bill going up? Because those crooked people who got dark hearts, you know what they did? They gave me a low payment, right? And said, all you got to do is pay $45, right? But the interest was $65. So every time I paid my $45, my bill went up $15. So every time, now that's for you people who don't know what you're doing when you mess with your credit card. The people harder, so they don't tell you that. So you pay the minimum. You say, oh, all I got to pay is $20, but the interest is $25. So your bill go up $5. You would die on more than you borrow. It's going to keep going up. It's never going to go down because you're paying the minimum. So I got smart. I got American Express card, right? And every time I buy something, I don't spend no money I don't have. So I go in and I buy it, and then I pay it off. I buy it. I say, you think you slick? I'm going to get you. We fly. Sister Dura and I fly all over the country. I go to games. I do all this kind of stuff. And all my flights is free. And I say, I know they're mad at me. So I go to the Delta place, and I go to the Skybox, Margaret, and I eat like a star. I walk in there with the people that got all the money, and I sit in like I got some too. Because I spent so much money with American Express that they called me a gold member. They said, how you doing, Mr. Durham? We're so glad to have you here. And I stick my head, I say, I'm glad to be here. Right? And here's the thing, they paying for all of it because the people who pay the minimum help pay my free. So I get all this stuff. They give me all these points, and I get all these free points. So that's how I get these free hotels and all that stuff. They give me a timeshare, and I get a timeshare. We go into Myrtle Beach. I go down there, and I get the room, four nights and 3 days for $99. They said, but you got to spend 2 hours on the show. I said, Ardina, we ain't buying nothing. 2 hours, we talk to the people, said, we're not going to buy. So we got four nights. We don't buy nothing. We just live like we got there with the most important people at the Hilton. So we look like we got money. But God showed me how to do it. And because I'm in contract with him, he always gave me enough money to make sure I can pay it off. So they don't never get me. So when you're in contract with God, God will show you how it works. So there's no hole in my pocket. So it don't come in and go out. It come in and stay there. So I just want to challenge you guys. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he created for all of us. And he wanted all of us to be a success. So he wanted us to sign a contract with him. And I want to challenge you as I close. Are you willing to come into agreement and sign this insurance policy that will save your life in the event that there's a tsunami or a tornado or a very bad storm? That you would be covered. So now you don't care if the storm comes because you know you got insurance. Right? So when something happens with your car, you got insurance. If you get sick and have to go to the doctor, you got insurance. Because God got you. Right? So I'm asking you today, and I'm begging you, I want to sell you this insurance policy. The thing is, I don't get no kickback on it. I don't get no kickback. So I'm not getting paid on the side. Right? You get blessed. And I want you to be blessed. You got to make everybody stand to your feet. I had a guy here named Chucky Burt came, and Chucky Burt had all y'all all excited, and he sold y'all insurance policy in case y'all die. Right? And everybody was buying this insurance policy. I said, buy you an insurance policy today that will cover you for the rest of your life. And when you die, you know you're in good hands with Allstate. And the real Allstate is him. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the contract that you have available for us to sign. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know that you would never leave us in the midst of the storm or the midst of the tragedy, in the midst of a sickness, that you promise to fulfill your end of the contract. We just have to keep our premium up. Let's keep our heart locked into you. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that opportunity. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for opening up this door opportunity for us. Let us see it. Open up my minds and our hearts. Let us receive your gift of love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you would like to have him in your life. We would like to pray for you here. But as we leave this place, never ever his presence. Lord, be with us. Go with us. Guide our hearts. Guide our minds. And for those who like prayer, please come forward. God bless you. Love you guys.